It was the kind of weather where you probably shouldn't fly, and if you do fly, you have to fly very, very carefully.
A crash near Dillingham kills Senator Ted Stevens and four others. There are four survivors. From the Alaska Public Radio Network, this is Alaska News Nightly for Tuesday, the 10th of August. Good evening, I'm Lori Townsend. Also tonight, remembering Stevens' unique style in Congress.
And he often would say, you know, I never lose my temper. I always know where it is.
Those stories and more tonight on Alaska News Nightly.
Today's broadcast of Alaska News Nightly is presented by Doyon Limited, Interior Alaska's regional native corporation, providing oil field services, government contracting, and natural resource development in Alaska and across the nation. Information at doyon.com. And by Wells Fargo, providing Alaskans steps to help reach their financial goals. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A.
Alaska is mourning the loss of former Senator Ted Stevens today. Stevens died in a plane crash last night near Dillingham. Four other people died along with Stevens, including the pilot, Terry Smith, a legendary airman in Alaska. William Phillips Sr. also died, along with GCI Vice President Dana Tyndall and her daughter, Corey Tyndall. The survivors include ex-NASA Chief Sean O'Keefe, who was a former longtime aide for Ted Stevens. O'Keefe's teenage son, Kevin, also survived, along with 13-year-old William Phillips Jr. and Jim Morehard of Alexandria, Virginia. The four survivors are being treated at Providence Hospital in Anchorage with varying degrees of injuries. The National Transportation Safety Board is investigating the crash. APRN's Steve Heimelt just attended a media briefing with NTSB Board Chairman Deborah Hirschman and has this report.
The National Transportation Safety Board got to Alaska this afternoon and spent about 2 hours in Dillingham, but didn't actually reach the crash site. Chairman Deborah Hirschman said that they did spend a couple of hours talking with witnesses, and everything she says is based on what the witnesses told them, and so far is unofficial. The plane left the GCI Lodge for a fish camp at about 3 p.m., apparently, and it was not until about 6 o'clock when the lodge called the fish camp to see when it might be coming back that they discovered it was missing. From that point, several aircraft went up. There was a search, and they found the aircraft fairly quickly. It actually did not take very long before a doctor had been dropped off on the scene, apparently by a float plane, and hiked in, and two EMTs were dropped above the crash scene and hiked down. The conditions there are described to be about a 30-degree slope and very challenging and slippery. When the doctor got there, he found a 100-yard gash, the airplane largely intact, and the nose was smashed. The plane had basically dug a 100-yard gash traveling up the hill. One person had managed to get out of the aircraft, and it smelled of fuel. They managed to get other people out of the aircraft that night. The doctor and the EMT then spent the night with those people, and the bodies and the survivors were pulled out of there this afternoon and transported to Anchorage. We don't yet have any condition report. They expect to get to the crash scene as soon as the weather clears, and we'll have more for us as it's available. This is Steve Heimel reporting from the airport.
Pilot and former state lawmaker Rick Helford was flying a similar plane in the same area in the hours before Stevens' plane crashed yesterday. He says the weather was awful and did not look like it improved any throughout the day. He says at times, visibility was under a mile.
Well, it was the kind of weather where you probably shouldn't fly. And if you do fly, you have to fly very, very carefully. And you have to always maintain good ground contact. You have to maintain the ability to turn back. And you have to recognize that you may have to land on a small water body and be stuck there if you get into weather that closes in front of you and behind you.
Four fire department medics from Dillingham responded to the crash scene. Ron Bowers is a longtime Dillingham resident who is also an EMT. He has been monitoring the local response to the crash. He says they were flown to the site last night.
Some local helicopter pilots voluntarily took them, and a number of them stayed at the scene with the survivors throughout the night. and they're real heroes.
Bauer says the area where the plane crashed is known as the Muklung Hills. He says it's a low mountainous area where other planes have crashed.
The area, it's kind of deceptive. It's a lot of tundra right off the end of the runway, and with some trees and a lot of tundra, and then boom, there's the Muklung Hills, and the highest point's only about 2,700 feet. But it's just in an area that's not too far from the runway, and it has claimed a number of aircraft.
Governor Sean Parnell told reporters this afternoon that he first heard of the crash and the possibility that Senator Stevens may be on board late last night. Parnell says he acknowledged all the deaths with great sadness, and in reference to Stevens, said it was hard to summarize 6 decades of public service, starting from Stevens' Army service at 19, his time in the Alaska legislature, and 6 terms as Alaska's U.S. Senator.
He fought hard for our future in Alaska. Is better off for him having served us. Though small of stature, Ted Stevens seemed larger than life, and anybody who knew him that way. For he built Alaska, and he stood for Alaska, and he fought for Alaskans. Ted was a lion who retreated before nothing.
Alaska's congressional delegation reacted to the news with shock and with sadness. APRN's Ellen Lockyer has more.
Senator Lisa Murkowski says there was a side to Ted Stevens that didn't always show in public.
There was a compassion in Ted Stevens that many people didn't see. But I think the people of this state felt that love and felt that compassion.
She said many people only saw the gruff side of the late senator. Murkowski reminisced about her early days in the United States Senate and how Stevens helped her find her feet in the sometimes murky halls of Congress. Today she gave him the highest praise, calling him her mentor.
He was the longest-serving Republican senator in the history of the Senate. And I come in as a newbie, and never once did Ted Stevens say, you better be following my lead. He knew when to guide, when to suggest, when to let it be my idea. He was the most remarkable mentor.
She met with reporters at a hastily called press conference at Ted Stevens International Airport. Murkowski was restrained, her voice dropping to a whisper at times when she commented on the events that ended Stevens's political career. She said he had lost faith in the judicial system and had felt abandoned by some in the Senate. Murkowski herself stood by Stevens publicly during the difficult days which shadowed his long record in Congress.
He will be remembered as an Alaskan legend, and I stood by him when times were tough for him, and I will stand by him after he's no longer with us, and I will remind every Alaskan and I will remind every person in this country the contributions that that man made for all of us. He was a great man.
Murkowski had known Stevens all her life, she said. Senator Mark Begich reached in Kotzebue today, said Stevens's touch was everywhere in Alaska.
It doesn't matter where you go in this state, something Ted Stevens has helped an individual or a group to better themselves, and he will be missed, and it's a tragedy, and our prayers and thoughts are out to the family.
Murkowski said TAPS could be considered one of Stevens's greatest accomplishments. I'm Ellen Lockyer.
The pilot who died in yesterday's crash, Terry Smith, was a flying legend in Alaska. He was a longtime pilot for Alaska Airlines. In 1988, the company chose him to fly the historic Friendship flight across the Bering Sea from Nome to Russia. Rex Gray is an Alaska Airlines pilot who trained with Smith. He says Smith was Mr. Smooth in the air and calls him the most professional airman he's ever known. Gray says a conversation he had with Smith last spring stands out.
He was all excited. He just retired at ConocoPhillips, and he was going to have some fun flying these other airplanes. He just loved to fly. Just loved to fly. He didn't care whether it was a big jet or a little single-engine putt-putt that went along it. 60 miles an hour. He was just happy being in the air.
Smith's son-in-law, Major Aaron Malone, died earlier this month in the C-17 cargo plane crash at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson. Still to come on Alaska News Nightly, a look back at Ted Stevens' long career and emotional departure from the Senate.
Home is where the heart is, Mr. President. If that is so, I have two homes. One is right here in this chamber, and the other is my beloved state of Alaska.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by NMS, building a culture of safety through active caring. More information online at nmsusa.com. And by
Crowley, providing tanker escorts, fuel delivery, and energy support services to Alaskans for over 50 years. From Valdez to the North Slope, Crowley knows Alaska. Crowley.com.
It's hard to underestimate the impact Ted Stevens had on Alaska. APRN's Steve Heimel has this look back at his life and career.
Not many Alaskans would disagree with the award Ted Stevens got a few years ago as Alaskan of the Century. His influence over the course of the state's history was enormous. Even before statehood, as an attorney in the Interior Department, Stevens had a sign on the door of his office in Washington that said, Alaskan Headquarters. Stevens was a warrior and he had a quick temper. He was born in Indiana. He was a pilot in the Second World War, flying C-47 cargo planes over Burma. In the Senate, his closest friend was another old warrior, Daniel Inouye of Hawaii, who served in the 442nd Infantry. All his career, Stevens was known as a hawk, advocating for more military spending and more military presence in Alaska. Trained as an attorney after the war, Stevens was a federal prosecutor in Fairbanks and rose to be top lawyer in the Interior Department. He was deeply involved in the statehood push, and once Alaska became a state, he ran for the U.S. Senate, but he lost. Ernest Greening held on to the seat. Stevens ended up in the state legislature, and when Alaska's other senator, Bob Bartlett, suddenly died in 1968, then-Governor Walter Hickel quickly appointed Stevens to what would become the longest term ever served in the U.S. Senate by a Republican. Oil had been discovered at Prudhoe Bay, and Stevens had to go right to work with Greening on getting a bill through to settle native land claims so the oil industry could have clear title to a corridor for a pipeline. That bill passed in 1971. It set up corporations with native shareholders to hold the lands. This was followed with the passage of the Pipeline Act, with then-Vice President Spiro Agnew casting the deciding vote. It wasn't long before senator just seemed to be a natural part of Ted Stevens' name. He worked closely with the senators from Washington State, Warren Magnuson and Henry Scoop Jackson. In 1976, Magnuson and Stevens wrote a bill to lay claim on ocean waters out to 200 miles and end foreign fishing there. Fisheries would remain a central concern for Stevens for the rest of his Senate career. He saw to it that coastal communities got a share of the fisheries, and more controversial, that processors did as well. He was a tireless advocate for public broadcasting and public funding for the arts. He was uncompromisingly pro-choice. Stevens rose to chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, and from that position he saw to it that much federal spending came to Alaska. Stevens revisited fisheries issues many times, sometimes in controversial closed-door meetings, to hammer out a bill that would then get tacked on as a rider to some budget bill already bound for certain passage. He also had to return to native issues repeatedly, finding ways to give support to the native corporations, several of which fell into bankruptcy repeatedly. He saw to it that they got favorable tax treatment, and later that they got favorable contracting terms. Both of those moves were controversial, but the native corporations rose to be major elements of the state's economy. Stevens believed in the corporations till the end of his days and felt that tribal self-government rights in Alaska had been extinguished. He tried to impose regionalization on Native recipients of federal funding, without success. When they first learned that federal prosecutors were investigating Ted Stevens, Alaskans were surprised. When the jury came back with a guilty verdict against Senator Ted Stevens, it sent a chill throughout the state. When the verdict was vacated at the behest of the new Obama administration because of prosecutorial misconduct, most Alaskans were relieved. Ted Stevens was no stranger to airplane crashes. He was flying into Anchorage in 1978 on a charter flight when that plane crashed, killing five people, including his first wife, Anne. Stevens and one other person survived that crash. For the Alaska Public Radio Network, I'm Steve Heimel.
When Senator Ted Stevens lost his re-election bid 2 years ago, it ended an era of Alaska politics. APRN's Libby Casey has more from Washington.
While the federal case against Ted Stevens was eventually thrown out because of prosecutorial misconduct, it did cost him re-election in 2008. The senator said goodbye to his colleagues, staff, and Washington that November on the floor of the Senate, where he'd spent so many years.
My motto has been here, to hell with politics. Just do what's right for Alaska. And I've tried every day to live up to those words.
Stevens' humble beginnings in the lower 48 during the Depression didn't stop him from pushing his way through challenges. When the military rejected the teenage Stevens for failure of the eye test, he did exercises, went back, and passed. After World War II, he steamrolled his way through UCLA and Harvard Law, big accomplishments for a small-town boy, eventually forging his path to Alaska. He told his Senate colleagues 2 years ago that serving among them was a dream come true.
I really must pinch myself to fully understand that I'm privileged to speak on the floor of the United States Senate. Coming from a boyhood that I had, I could never even have dreamed to be here today. And home is where the heart is, Mr. President. If that is so, I have two homes. One is right here in this chamber, and the other is my beloved state of Alaska.
In the fall of 2008, Stevens sat down with APRN to talk about his career and re-election bid. He wanted to stick around Washington, he said, because even though he was 84, he saw more work waiting, developing Alaska, bringing home the bacon, and bettering the lives of his constituents.
I've gone through a long life. I've been in the service. I've worked since the day I was six. My first job is for my family, and after that, I'm a workaholic, okay?
Stevens may have been in his 80s, but he hustled around Capitol Hill, leaving far younger staffers and reporters trailing behind, trying to catch up. He was a familiar sight in sporty orthopedic sneakers, a pressed suit, and sometimes the legendary Incredible Hulk tie that told his Senate colleagues he meant business. But despite his workaholic tendencies, Stevens said at the end of the day, it was his family that kept him moving.
I believe in families. And I believe in God. I go to church when I can. I used to be a member of the vestry of the Episcopal Church. And I try my best to behave and be an example to other people. I'm a father of six children. I'm a grandfather of 11. I've had two wives. And as my old friend Ernest Hollings, senator from South Carolina, used to say, I was the most fortunate man he ever knew because I married up twice. Okay? I believe that family is really the center of my life. And the Senate is second.
Stephen survived his first wife, Anne, after the plane crash that took her life. Now it's his family that's left behind to remember and carry on. Back in November 2008, Stephen's Senate colleagues gave him a standing ovation as he bid them farewell.
That's it, Mr. President. 40 years distilled into a few minutes. I close by saying and asking that God bless Alaska and our governor. God bless the United States of America and our president. And God bless the Senate and every member of this body. I yield the floor for the last time.
The majority leader is recognized.
In Washington, I'm Libby Casey.
Alaska News Nightly is brought to you in part by First National Bank Alaska, serving Alaskans' financial needs for nearly a century. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. 90% of those who drown in boating accidents in Alaska are men. To get men to wear their life jackets, have them fill out a Pledge to Live card and make a promise to wear their life jacket every time they get in a boat. Every time. Most men won't listen to messages like this, but they might listen to you. Go to pledgetolive.org to get a card or find one at your local car Safeway. Make them promise so they make it back alive. This message is sponsored by the Alaska Office of Boating Safety Program.
Joel Southern covered Senator Stevens in Congress for nearly 20 years for APRN. He now lives in Denmark, but was following the news today closely. Southern remembers first meeting Stevens as a young reporter just starting out.
My first impression was he was a growly, snarly man that I didn't really want to be around very much because he could be that way. And by his own admission, at times, he could be a mean, miserable SOB. He used that term one time, and I remember everybody chuckled, but they were chuckling because there was a bit of truth to it. Everybody had been around or seen how he could bark and bite, and so there was that element to him. But, you know, the thing about it is, There was a much gentler and thoughtful and generous side to him, too, and people cannot forget that.
What was it like to watch him work on a day-to-day basis?
He was very sharp guy. I mean, he was even in his later years. Actually, I think he got sharper. I think there was a period where maybe he wasn't as focused as much, but when he became chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, he knew that was a big job. It was one that he wanted for years and years and years, and he seemed to get a much keener and sharper focus on being in the Senate and the job that he had. So, I mean, he tried to stay on top and because he knew he needed to be sharp to be on top of his game.
Joel, how would you describe his style in Congress?
Well, he often said that he practiced what he had started out in as a profession, as a trial lawyer, and the histrionics of a trial lawyer were a lot of what he used to get what he wanted. You know, he's famous for his temper, for example, and he often would say, you know, I never lose my temper. I always know where it is. So he sort of used that tactically and strategically sometimes to get what he wanted. So, I mean, he used those sorts of elements, but he also delved into legislation. He had a very strong grip and knowledge about and respect for the law, and he was very much the lawyer as he did his work in the Senate over the years. So, you know, you really should never ever have underestimated him if you came up against him, because you would feel sorry. You also had to deal with that temper. I mean, that was a very, very tough thing to deal with at times. I mean, he would wear people down. I mean, sometimes he won just because they didn't want to deal with his roughness and temper.
What are some of your best memories of Senator Stevens?
On a personal level, I would say, and this gets back to the issue of Stevens being a more thoughtful, generous, and actually gentle person in some ways. One of my brothers died in 1995, and it was a very tough thing to go through. But I got a handwritten note from Senator Stevens that said, you know, I've heard about your loss, and grief is a powerful thing, and you need to understand the power of grief and work through it. And, you know, the words might not have been profound to anybody else, but to me, at that particular time, they were very profound. So I that taught me a lesson about Stevens, that he was, a much different person than the stereotype that some people had about him.
Joel, how would you characterize the size of the loss that this is for Alaska?
Well, you know, I've thought a lot about Stevens over the years, especially during the circumstances that led to him leaving the Senate. And, you know, the question is, you know, is he a great man? Was he a great man, or a man who was able to do great things? That's a hard question to answer. I think the best you can say that he is was a remarkable man who had a remarkable life, because he was one degree of separation from a lot of the history of the past 60 years. So I think for Alaska, I mean, Alaska, as we know it now, would not be Alaska had it not been for the hand of Ted Stevens. Up to this point, without Ted Stevens, in the absence of Ted Stevens, you know, a lot of what Alaska is just wouldn't be.
Joel Southern covered Senator Stevens for APRN in Washington for nearly 20 years. Senator Stevens was a fierce advocate on behalf of Alaska Natives, and he helped steer billions of dollars to rural Alaska over the years. But he was also sometimes at odds with Native leaders. Willie Hensley is a former state lawmaker and longtime Alaska Native rights advocate from Kotzebue. He remembers having a good relationship with Stevens, even though he says he wasn't always an easy guy to get along with. Hensley says Stevens helped pass the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act through Congress.
All in all, it worked out great, and Senator Stevens actually helped get this legislation through. He also helped stabilize the corporations, you know, through the through other legislation, the changes to the act that we advocated, what we call the 1991 amendments, He made possible the now controversial 8A contracts that actually boosted the economic fortunes of the corporation. So all in all, he's, you know, I mean, he was effective not only for our interest, but Alaskan interest, very, very much so. And he always had an open door for me the 9 years I was there working with Alyeska Pipeline.
And Mr. Hensley, what do you think Alaskans should focus on as they remember him now?
Well, he was completely and totally dedicated to Alaska. And I think he sacrificed family life, sacrificed his first wife, really. And, you know, he became part of virtually everybody's life up here because of the influence of his efforts in Washington and the dedication to his craft of trying to provide for his state.
It's an emotional day for you, it seems.
Well, for all of us, I mean, it's a human thing, and for his family especially. So it's a very sad day.
Willie Hensley is a Native rights advocate from Kotzebue. One of the most visible symbols of Ted Stevens' decades-long support for Alaska Natives stands adjacent to Tudor Road in Anchorage. It's the Alaska Native Medical Campus, dominated by a five-story, state-of-the-art hospital. The medical complex rises as a tribute to a senator's power and a people's need. Next to the hospital is South Central Foundation's Primary Care Center. A dedication to Senator Ted Stevens runs along the front of the building. Catherine Gottlieb, president of South Central Foundation, says Stevens, his faith in the ability of Alaska Natives' ability to meet even the greatest challenges, never faltered.
He always believed in us. He believed that we could do it. He was fighting for that all the time, knowing that we could own our own health care and be the ones that change our own statistics from bad to really good.
Gottlieb says that health system that Stevens helped Alaska Natives to create will become one of his enduring legacies. And that's all for this edition of Alaska News Nightly. If you missed any of tonight's stories, we're online at APRN.org. You can follow us on Twitter at APRN. We had help tonight from KOTZ in Kotzebue and KDLG in Dillingham. APRN's Libby Casey reported from Washington, D.C., and Steve Heimel and Ellen Lockyer from Anchorage. Our editor and producer is Annie Feit. Our audio engineer is Kristen Spack. And I'm Lori Townsend. Good night.
Alaska News Nightly was made possible by Grant Station, your fast track to funding, helping identify appropriate grant makers for your organization's programs and projects. On the web at grantstation.com. If you're looking to start or grow your own business, Alaska SourceLink can help. They're a web-based referral center for Alaskans seeking business assistance with more than 100 resource partners across the state. For more information or to access resources online, go to www.aksourcelink.com. Connecting businesses to the help they need when they need it. This message sponsored by the University of Alaska Center for Economic Development.
This is APRN, the Alaska Public Radio Network.